From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. Today, going to have a little fun. David Malinsky of Vegas Point Blank is going to join us to talk. We'll talk a little Middle Tennessee. We'll talk a little Ole Miss and a lot of NCAA tournament as the play-in games, I guess, technically the first round, but I'm not calling it that, start tonight and Wednesday, and then the full weekend of basketball, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the NCAA first and second rounds. Time to get those vasectomies and sit on the couch for the weekend and all those good things, right, people? So, anyway, we will talk to David here in a bit. We might even say there's some conspiracies and different things in college athletics. Could possibly get there. You'll have to wait and see. So, David coming up in a little bit here on the podcast.
This is a tough show for me.
Tough show for you?
Well, after the interview that we did with David, I'm a little disillusioned.
You know,
I
catch
myself feeling a little cynical, and these are not normal feelings for me, and I'm struggling.
You know, Neil is typically very optimistic. A dreamer, if you will.
Yeah,
and because of that, today has been a little emotionally tiring, but we'll try to get him through this next hour or so.
I always try to find the positive in everything, see the good, and that interview, I find it distressing.
I don't think David has chicken at 6 o'clock every Tuesday night.
No, he doesn't, and I do.
Yeah.
Meatloaf Monday. Chicken Tuesday.
Taco Thursday.
Taco Thursday. I'm a creature of
medium sauce instead of mild could throw off your entire day.
Yeah. Wait, oh, yes. Stay mild. No spice. No spice at all. Anyway, sorry.
You're fine. Where you do get a little spice is on the ribs at the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Get the lunch special, and then at night, just call ahead or stop by, wet or dry. Be waiting on you there on Highway 6. And while you're in there, you get the bottomless refill for $49. So you get the ribs, you get the side items, baked beans, macaroni and cheese, whatever of your choosing. And then for 49 cents, fill up that fountain drink. It's a large cup and be on your way. So that is the Oxford Exxon and all Blue Sky locations in Mississippi. And again, we're in the Clark Ford studio.
We are. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. You call that number. Excuse me today, guys. My voice is kind of shot. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. And then it's up to you. You get the quote. You can shop it around. Or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of this podcast. And that is to take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. We'll make the deal even better. At the end of your deal, tell Corey that you heard about the podcast. You heard about the dealership on the podcast. It's $500 off. The bottom line at Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900. Before we even get started, I'd like to wish my daughter Caroline a happy birthday. 15 years.
15.
15 years today at around noon. 12:30 something.
She's not. Yeah, her turning 15 doesn't make me feel as old as Carson gets older. That's the one where I sit back and go, "Wow."
Yeah, Carson turns 12 in October. He'll be a teenager in a little over a year, and that's going to hit me too.
I mean, because that means when we started working together, Carson was like 3.
Yeah, he was just a little fella.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not so little anymore.
No. So.
Anyway, happy birthday, Caroline.
Ole Miss, Georgia State today, 5 o'clock today, 2 o'clock tomorrow, Central Time. They left
there,
this morning.
Right?
Yeah, it's in Atlanta. Yeah. I think technically Decatur. There's been some confusion. Georgia State plays football at Turner Field. They play baseball at some smaller complex in Decatur. So
makes sense.
There. Yeah, just.
Makes sense.
Does it?
Not really.
Does it not? You would play both at the same place?
Well, you could. The other one was built for baseball.
You could. I mean, I tell you, though, those huge stadiums like that, though, when there's 400 people there, feel weird.
Yeah, it does.
So, I mean, you know, I covered Ole Miss in the Metrodome that time when there was 300 people in the stands, and it's a strange deal. I actually don't like that environment as much as a smaller park when you do it. So, Either way, 5 o'clock, 2 o'clock tomorrow. There is video available. You got to pay for it. It's like the old Rebel Vision subscription thing. I think they call it Panther Vision. Everybody calls it Vision. It's Panther Vision. It's Beach Vision. It was Rebel Vision. $5.95, I believe, for a 24-hour pass. And because the games are at 5 and 2, I think you could time that baby just right for one 24-hour pass. Right at 5 o'clock today would get you through the 8th or 9th inning tomorrow for the two
could
games.
Be problematic if the game tomorrow is like close or extra innings.
Well, I mean, there's an insurance policy. It's a month pass for $9.95. So you could spend $4 more and be certain of what you'd like to do. You might even catch Georgia State against whomever this weekend if you'd like. But
The count me in.
The Panthers are off to an 11-4 start. That is their best start in school history. The two teams split a two-game set in Oxford last year where Ole Miss scored one run over 21 innings. Probably should do a little better than that. In Atlanta today and tomorrow.
All right, so let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Because I was going to be Mr. Positive today, and then we talked to David. And
he got your mood all screwed up.
And I'm changing the way that I look at things, and I'm now somewhat cynical and looking for the negative in things. I read David DeLucci's column on rebelgrove.com. It's my understanding that's a part of the Rivals Network, covers Ole Miss. David used to play for Ole Miss, of course. Used to play for in the major leagues.
13 years as a major league player. He played
World Series with the Diamondbacks.
He did, yes. He is now a studio and on-site analyst for SEC Network.
If I remember correctly, David earned a living in the major leagues primarily because of his ability to swing a piece of wood at a round ball.
He was a professional hitter, yes.
I'm reading his comments in the piece on rebelgrove.com. You wrote them, so you're familiar with them.
I did.
He talks about how, yes, Ole Miss is off to a really good start. There's no denying. 15-1 is, like, really good. Most coaches would take it. He talks about he's seeing certain players, Thomas Dillard, Cole Zabowski, and others, doing a better job of hitting to all fields. He talks about how this team appears to have more power and more power potential, perhaps, than last year's team.
He does.
But then if I'm reading this right, and again, I'm cynical. I didn't used to be, but I am starting today. He sort of lays the groundwork for this. Be careful what you think you're seeing. He talks about how, through no fault of Ole Miss's, they haven't seen the kind of pitching they're going to see when SEC play rolls around, where you got a bunch of dudes who throw the hell out of it. And he talks about how he's a little concerned, if I'm reading this right, that a handful of guys are still kind of out on that front foot a little bit. And if you've never swung a bat at a ball before, being out on your front foot prematurely is a really bad thing because you can't recover from it. You can get away with it if you're facing loopy off-speed stuff. And you know that loopy off-speed stuff is coming because this is where physics kicks in, and it's not that complicated. You have time to kind of reset. If someone's throwing 95 and you're on your front foot, you don't have time to reset. And if you're looking for 95 and you're out on your front foot and they throw a 79-mile-an-hour change, all you're going to do is have your knees buckle. You're not going to hit it.
So I asked David –
Am I right in saying that's kind of what he's hinting
David
at?
David is a very, very positive person. David said...
Like I used to be.
Yes. David said that, you know, it's not really even at this point critical. It's a question left out there that we haven't seen because of the schedule they have faced. And frankly, it's impossible at this point because there are some similarities to Houston last year when Ole Miss played really well for the first couple weeks, went to Houston, and really struggled against Baylor, TCU, and Texas Tech. And because of that, they have to kind of show a little bit here. And I asked David, I said, who are the SEC pitchers that Ole Miss has faced so far, meaning guys that could be in rotations for SEC teams? And he said he liked the Sunday guy at Eastern Illinois, which would not be a sentence I would have expected to hear at the first of the season. But it was, I think his name was Carson Hawes. He's up around 90. He was okay.
Yeah.
And then he said Clayton Andrews, the first pitcher from Long Beach State. He said, although with the Andrews kid, he was left-handed, he was pretty good, he threw a loopy curveball, and you could read the curveball out of his hand, which is something you're not going to be able to do with Casey Mize and Sean Jelly and Brady Singer and Drake Fellows and pick your guy. Probably all 30 for the most part in the SEC. And he says, yes, the approaches have been better, but he wonders, and there's no way to know this. So this is not really even a criticism because we don't know. It's just, hey, keep this in your mind as SEC play starts. Is that because they have great approaches and it's fixed and here we go? Or is it because the pitching allows them to make those adjustments that you talk about mid at bat without being overwhelmed? And look, you're not going to go score 12 runs off Casey Mize, but you still have to have quality at bat after quality at bat after quality at bat to get the two or three or whatever it is that you need to win games. So, no, it's a question. I mean, Cockrell's the one that I wonder about because Cockrell has a couple things. First, he has the best power on the team. There's no doubt. And as of right now, he is the best hitter on the team from a production standpoint. Until he doesn't have that production, I say move him up in the order and see what he can do. He's hitting eighth right now. Get him out of the eighth spot. Move him up, maybe to the two hole, and see where it goes. But with Cockrell, to point it up, he's hitting 516 and only 31 at-bats. He has 16 hits and 31 at-bats. And he also has, 9 strikeouts. So here's something to look at. 25 of his 31 at-bats have ended in a hit or a strikeout. That means his BABIP is off the charts. He only has 6 at-bats where the ball was put in play and caught out of 31. So there's some unsustainability to that. Obviously, he's not going to hit 500.
No.
But that doesn't matter. It's not about results. It's about approaches. And whereas Dylan and Zabowski look comfortable when they've seen some things at times. Now, look, Dylan had a terrible weekend against Long Beach State. And it's not perfect, but it's better. Cockrell's the one where I wonder, is he the guy that just hits this kind of pitching? And now, look, he hit the Hawks kid from Eastern Illinois. But what happens when he sees it over and over and over and over again? Because every at-bat seems to kind of trickle on falling forward just a touch. And I mean, look, we're being hypercritical, but that's what's going to decide this season.
Well, the other thing that you know is that the other teams in the SEC are watching every at-bat. They have a plan of attack. Tennessee has watched every at-bat that Cole Zabowski's had this year, every pitch. A&M's watched it, and A&M will watch what Tennessee does. A&M will attack him. We're at that point of the season where now the scouting report on you is pretty decent.
And the pitchers are good enough to actually execute it.
Exactly. The pitchers can execute a plan.
Yeah.
Now, that works for Ole Miss, too, because
yeah, of course.
I'm going to guess that this is going to be the first year that Mike's going to actually say, you know, I probably ought to scout the other team. And so they will have a plan of attack for Tennessee's hitters. Yeah. And Ole Miss's pitching is good enough to execute that plan of attack. And so it comes down to Tennessee. We'll see early on, first, second at-bat, okay, here's how they're attacking me. Now I have to adjust.
Yeah.
And then they'll either adjust or they won't.
And here we go.
And then we're playing chess. But if you're out on that front foot and you can't adjust to that, you can't get out of that, you're going to get eaten alive in SEC play.
And I think
that's reality.
And now, look, I think some of the plan for some of these dudes, especially the power hitters where you don't care if they strike out a little bit, that's irrelevant. Yeah, I don't care about strikeouts.
Sure.
Is, hey, if it looks like it's coming out of his hand and spinning, just let the dang thing go. Leave it alone.
Right.
Hit something straight. And only hit something straight.
Spit at it.
And if he gets me out with throwing all that crap for strikes, then he just gets me out throwing all that crap for strikes.
Because at any level, Carson had an at-bat the other day.
Yeah.
He was down in the count, 0-2, and the kid threw him a...
Danny Almonte flipped a curveball in there.
Kind of flipped a curveball in there, and he missed. And Carson thought to himself, well, he's going to come back with the fastball.
Came out
he was ready
ball,
for
yeah.
a fastball, and he threw the curve, buckled his knees, and he kind of turns, walks off the field with his head down. All I said to him was,
"Tip your
hat,
bud.
That was a really good curveball. Welcome to baseball."
Yeah. It happens.
Why a 12-year-old is throwing curveballs like that is beyond me, but it is what it is.
Hey, he got it over the zone, didn't he?
He was pretty.
Okay.
He dropped it right
in. Well, 12-6, just a little.
It had a little. It was more like an 11-7, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. So, yeah, look.
There's not much you can do.
Ole Miss is 15-1.
My point is, if you're throwing 3-4 pitches for strikes, well, you're going to get people out.
Ole Miss is 15-1 this season. It's hard to have a lot of intelligent conversation about all the things that need to be better because they're 15-1. So, keep that in context to what I'm saying here. But there are three things. I got three things here. Let's play – that's one. Let's play cold water for 3 minutes.
Okay.
I've had to kind of dig a little, but I was sitting there last night going, if I'm Ole Miss, even though all the stats work out and even though everything looks great on paper, what sort of kind of concerns me and what sort of kind of doesn't? Things that do not concern me. Ryan Rollison, slow start. I think that's fine. Now, you know, is he going to be Casey Mize? I don't know, but he's fine. He's going to win a lot of games. Brady Feigl's been tremendous. I think that's real. Parker Kiraisi, I think that's real. I think he might be the best reliever on the team right now. Will Etheridge is real. Defensively, they've been fantastic. They went six straight games without an error. They had one error on Sunday. It wasn't a big deal. They're making not just the routine plays, but more big plays. They've got more range. They're doing a lot of things. DeLucci pointed out Thomas Dillard in left field cutting off a lot of balls that have saved bases that most people don't see and something that doesn't get in a box score but has been really good at, because Dillard moves so well that sometimes he doesn't get credit for that. I'll have more on that tomorrow on the site. But anyway.
Kind of a certain Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah, he runs like a 6'7", 60. I mean, he's not slow by any means. He's a fullback. But, okay, three things. It's we don't know about the offense for sure because of the pitching they have faced. They haven't had that big keynote series to really see everything. The second thing is, and this is going to sound nutty when you look at stats, but it's been a topic on the message board, so I want to talk about it here. Dallas Wolfolk has thrown 6.2 innings. He has five saves. He has a 0.00 ERA. He has seven strikeouts. He has three walks. He's given up five hits. Not much bad there. Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Fastball's a little down. Velocity-wise, he's settling at about 91. He's hitting some 93s. And, now look, it's been cold. It's early in the year. All those caveats. But I think it's fair to at least watch it. I'm curious if he quickly gets back to where he was last season, which was more 95-ish in that area. Because Dallas is one of those few closers, too, who has three pitches. He has a slider that's very good, and he has a changeup that he uses a lot. Well, that changeup is going to be so much more effective at 94-95 than that changeup will be at 90-91. And at 90-91, you're not going to throw the ball past SEC hitters. You're going to have to pitch. And now, look, he is a better pitcher, not just thrower, but pitcher as past seasons. But he needs that extra oomph to finish games for Ole Miss. He gained a little weight, whether it be muscle or whatever, after Christmas. I'm seeing, at least in my opinion, Mike might tell me and I'm an idiot, a little less range of motion with him maybe than past seasons. I don't see as athletic of a movement from Dallas as I have early in his career. And now, look, he might lose 5-10 pounds and look great in a week. I don't know. But that's at least, if you want to be hypercritical for a day, something that I think you can watch, that if there is a struggle down the road, that may be what has contributed to it with Dallas. And then the other thing, and this is just something that kind of popped in my head, James McArthur has been very, very good. Against Long Beach, I thought he was great. He gave up 9 or 10 fly ball outs and 3 solo home runs against Eastern Illinois. And that means that the fastball was very hittable when they hit fly balls like that. It means that they got barrels on them. They hit the ball solidly. If you do that against Tennessee or A&M, instead of 3 home runs, that might be 6 home runs. They're gonna connect better than Eastern Illinois did. So with McArthur, you need to see a few more ground balls. I feel like the fly ball outs are a little high. And again, we're talking about a guy with a 0.59 ERA coming into last weekend. But there are just these small signs. You see them in football, too. You know, when they beat the crap out of the AA team or the FCS team, and you go, well, yeah, it was great, but that probably doesn't work next week. It's just lingering things a little bit that I'm kind of seeing that might fix themselves. They might go 19-11 in the league, and none of this matter, but if things revert negative a little bit, I think one of two of these three might be something that caused that, because they are the potential flaws that are possible with this team.
I mean, the other thing that Bear's saying is that every other team in the league is saying these exact same things.
Oh, they probably have four times as many flaws. I mean, yeah, that's the positive for Ole Miss. I'm discussing number of fly ball outs for a pitcher that is undefeated with a 1.74 ERA and a 2.11 batting average against.
Sure. I mean, let's give him a split these next two games for kicks and giggles. Okay. If you'd offered Mike Bianco 16-2.
Done.
He doesn't even ask a question.
Doesn't care who they're against.
He doesn't say anything. It's done.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, I'll give you 16-2 going into Tennessee. Take it or leave it. Done. No questions. So they're in great shape. If you offer him 17-1, his knees might buckle. So Hell, they offered him 15-3. He would have taken it.
Yeah.
So the deal is they're in great shape. Just when people – just you have to tell people sometimes slow your roll on booking the room in Omaha just yet. Book it, but don't put the deposit down. Just chill. Let's wait and see what happens when they face some SEC pitching. I still think – and again, I just listen to you. I read David, stuff like that. I still think this team has matured from a year ago.
There's no doubt.
And I think that what happened to them a year ago, as frustrating as it was for fans, will end up being a great benefit to them. I'm a big believer in adversity being a good thing. They went through adversity. The talent's there. Now they're going to be able to make that. We talked about the chess game. It's coming, and it's coming. I think they're going to play chess better this year. I think they're going to adjust quicker. They're going to adjust to adjustments quicker. And they pitch the ball really well. And that lets you stay in games. I think this is going to be a better team. Now, do I think they're going 27-3 in the league? I don't. And so when the people go insane.
I think Vanderbilt went 25-5 one year.
Something insane, which is incredible. But when people go, man, they're just going to tear up the league. Well, there's going to come a weekend.
There's a lot of dudes in the league that are really good. This is as deep of at least an SEC West as I've covered. And you got to play all those guys.
There's going to be a weekend in the SEC West where they kick somebody's ass. And there's going to be a weekend in the SEC West where they're going to get their ass kicked. That's just going to happen. It's going to be how well you do in those other – it's kind of a major league team. You go in, you go, we're going to win 50, we're going to lose 50.
Those other 62.
That's the deal. Going to win 50 by rolling out the ball.
Yeah.
Going to lose 50 by having the ball rolled out. And then it's going to be 62 games. You're going to have some schedule wins. You're going to have some schedule losses. It's going to be what you do over the course of the bulk of a season that determines how good you are. And they're in great shape. They've put themselves in position, quite frankly, to be a super regional. Probably got to get 18-12 to get to that spot.
That's probably minimum because of the non-conference being what it is, frankly.
Right, because their RPI is going to be
– I mean, good, but yeah. It's all relative.
But they're in shape. They've got the pitching to do it. They probably have as good of Saturday and Sunday pitching as anybody in the league, if not better.
Yeah, Aaron Fitz said yesterday he thinks Ole Miss has the best bullpen in the league, and he thinks that their starters are probably second or third in the league. So that'll get a lot done.
Sure.
That's up there. You know – the SEC, I think those guys at Baton Rouge with LSU across their chest or Tigers across their chest, they're probably the sixth best team in the SEC West right now. That's where this league is.
Unbelievable.
Ole Miss is better. Auburn's better. A&M's better. Arkansas is better. State or Alabama could be better. Maybe.
LSU's probably the fifth best team.
Well, they're certainly better than Alabama. Alabama's just playing better right now. Alabama is getting that bump from a first-year coach and a lot of energy that I kind of thought Tennessee might. Tennessee just doesn't appear to have the players to make that possible.
Yeah.
But in saying all that, you want to look at something. You better get a couple or three this weekend. You better get some insurance against Tennessee because
– I've said that all along.
The Vols are going to get swept some this year.
You need to be sweeping them.
If you went to Knoxville, go, okay, get two. They're in Oxford. Get three.
Because you go to A&M the next week, right?
And then come home and play Arkansas. And then go to State.
It's tough.
And even though
you're better than State, you're going to run into all that crap.
Who knows? And Pilkington can beat you on Friday night. He's good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just some thoughts there as we move forward. The podcast brought to you.
So negative.
Yeah.
You're such a cynic. Listen, everybody, I try to be your ray of sunshine every day, but sometimes when I'm surrounded by clouds like this, you can't help but have a little rain. It is what it is. Stick with it. One of these days we're going to get Parham to see the good side of things, but today is not that day.
Chase and David just being so damn negative.
It's hard. It's hard. So hard to be Mr. Positivity every day around this sort of negativity.
Podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. 662-607-7773, MasterCutsLawn.com. And for podcast listeners, you get a couple different offers, $50 off a pressure washing of 2,000 or more square feet. Or if you sign an annual contract to get your yard taken care of year-round, you get free pressure washing with your driveway and sidewalks. I had it done a couple weeks ago, made everything look great. Again, 662-607-7773.
Get to some ads in a second, so you can read it while I'm reading ads. Your boy Drew Brees back in a Saints uniform.
2 years, $50 million, 27 guaranteed.
Good day to be Mr. Breeze.
Yeah, I had a buddy yesterday screwing with me, asking me all day how he would look in purple. Wasn't really. I mean, that's bordering on losing a friendship.
Yeah, that's not nice.
Kind of rude.
It is really rude. Podcast also brought to you by the Moonlight Grahams. They're a brand new folk band from Nashville, started by Ole Miss graduate John McCann. The album was released on March the 2nd. It's on Spotify and iTunes. It's an organic, genuine style of music. Features the banjo, the acoustic guitar, the steel pedal. If you like the Avett Brothers, Mumford & Sons, you'll love the Moonlight Grahams. That's G-R-A-H-A-M-S. Apparently, when I say Grahams, it sounds like Grahams. Make sure to like their Facebook page, their Instagram post, their page, and share it on your Spotify playlist. They have a show April 28th at the World Music Nashville at 7 p.m., so check that out. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB is offering one-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield, three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With that three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. Rebel Nation 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories, recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often. So be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com.
Now let's talk a little gambling, a little NCAA tournament with David Malinsky of Vegas Point Blank here on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. David, thanks as always. Always a fun time to get you on around tournament time. And we're going to talk plenty of tournament, but I am curious a little bit. Ole Miss gets Andy Kennedy resigns from his position last month. Kermit Davis from Middle Tennessee appears to be the next coach, just waiting on announcements and contracts at this point. Kermit's had a lot of success at Middle Tennessee. What's kind of been the Vegas profile of the Blue Raiders over the last few years?
You know, it's funny because we don't track the Blue Raiders through most of the season, that they don't make the main betting boards until tournament time. So we don't get that deeply involved with them. But what we've seen at tournament time is a team that comes to play, that has never been intimidated when they've been up against some tougher teams, you know, in the tournament. So you like the level of preparation, but you also like that little bit of tenacity, you know, that they've been able to bring. Those are things you like to look for in a coach, if you're an athlete, someone who's going to be tactically sound, but also has his kids ready to step up against the challenge.
Is Andy Kennedy, I guess, you know, it was consistent. This is the year that the bottom kind of fell out for Ole Miss, as we do transition in a second. But is that sort of, if we've asked you this question every single year, but with Ole Miss, it seemed like a consistent team that can always kind of get you, but then at the same time, never kind of had whatever that something is that won just enough games to really become an NCAA factor?
You know, it's that difficulty of who were you able to bring in? Because one of the best ways to look at why the Rebels have been a little inconsistent or haven't gotten, you know, to that higher step, look at the current NBA rosters. And there's where kind of that missing ingredient comes in. And for as much as we like to think about college basketball as get good kids, get them to class, get them to work hard, get them to play with their teammates, that all sounds really, really good. But to get to that next level, you have to have that guy. And so it's like, even when you look at this year's NCAA tournament, when you try to whittle down who gets through the Sweet 16, who gets through the Elite Eight, who wins in San Antonio, it's who has that guy. Because tournaments tend to get won by players that are at that upper level. Ole Miss had a lot of good players come in. They did a lot of things right through the Kennedy years. But again, look at the NBA rosters, and you can see what the missing link was.
Yeah, it's not hard to figure out. If you don't have elite talent, your margin for error is just so small. And if you have elite talent, witness Oklahoma this year, Alabama this year, if you have elite talent, you can you can figure out a way to get where you're trying to go.
Yeah, now here's the problem with the elite talent is you'd like to think, boy, Alabama got Colin Sexton. They're really building something. But when Alabama starts practice next October, do they have Colin Sexton?
Oh, no, he's gone.
And that is the difficulty, let's say, for schools like Ole Miss, where if you're Kentucky or if you're Duke, you can go one and done because you can consistently be confident that you will replace the one-and-done player the next year. At other schools, you can't be guaranteed that. So now the question becomes, if you get a one-and-done one time, does it hurt your program in the long term more than it helps? And we talk about a local team here, UNLV, which when Dave Rice was the coach, had a couple of one-and-done kids. In fact, Anthony Bennett, you know, very high draft pick a couple of years ago. That actually disrupted the flow of the program so that you couldn't actually build season by season. You couldn't get a system in play. You couldn't get consistency. That's the difficulty at the Ole Miss level. So Kentucky can get away with something. Duke can get away with it. We can't be sure that Alabama can. We'll find out. Did the Colin Sexton season help Alabama or possibly hurt in the long run?
Yeah, it's a great point. Yeah, you're exactly right, because I think there's no question he's going to leave. He's a lottery pick. And I don't know that they have a replacement like it's ready in the wings to replace him and be that guy who can take over a game the way that he did in the SEC tournament a couple of times. I don't think that guy's there.
No, and with Oklahoma, we don't even have to look to next season. We can see how much Trae Young actually disrupted this season. He's such a unique talent that Lon Kruger, I think, got caught back in December of having to decide, do I coach to maximize Trae Young or do I coach to maximize my team? And he ended up not doing either. Down the stretch, as teams got to know Young, the second time around in Big 12 play, as teams learned more about how to defend him, about how far you needed to go beyond the three-point line to stay with him, they managed to shut him down pretty good, and Oklahoma didn't develop the rest of the arsenal. So when Oklahoma's season starts next year, it's almost going to be like this season never happened. They didn't do anything to further the program, and if anything, they hindered it just a little bit.
Kind of looking at the tournament a little bit, you talk about that, Oklahoma, one of the last teams in. The SEC gets 8 in, although mostly just good teams, no great teams with the SEC. In your opinion, who's the most likely to be around for a second weekend?
I'm going to say Tennessee, in that for as much as Kentucky, you know, has come on, Kentucky just got that real tough draw, possibly running into Arizona quickly. And that is a tough one right now, because Arizona is a team that has Final Four talent. They didn't necessarily mesh that well, because, again, what was Arizona's issue? How to figure out how to deal with the best of the one-and-dones, DeAndre Ayton. And that's difficult. I mean, the Ayton that we saw in November and the Ayton that we're seeing right now are two completely different players. He has developed. I think what made it tough on Sean Miller is Ayton's skill set was so diverse. A big kid who could do so many things. He could step away from the basket and shoot. He could get down in a stance on defense on the perimeter. It was just difficult to figure out how to use those particular talents. So I think Kentucky's draw has become a tough one. That gives Tennessee the best opportunity, not only to get out of the first weekend, but to maybe do something in that second weekend as well. The matchups are there to give Tennessee some opportunity.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like Tennessee's team. I don't read much into what happened in St. Louis with them. Kentucky played really, really well. If you've ever been to the SEC tournament, you know that it's essentially a home game for the Cats. And sometimes they get going in a game like that, and they're tough. I want to ask you about go ahead. I'm sorry.
When Kentucky makes shots, and that's what wasn't always happened, you know, during the regular season. It took Kentucky a while to get the offense figured out, to learn the particular skills, because Calipari was always accustomed to having the pure point guard and the pure low post scorer. Well, when this season started, he didn't have either one. So it took them a while. But against Tennessee, you know, and certainly in the semis in the SEC, Kentucky made shots. And when they make shots, you know, they do become a load.
The team in the SEC that I'm really interested to watch this weekend is Missouri. I was in St. Louis. Michael Porter Jr. played in their quarterfinal game. They obviously didn't win. It wasn't even a quarterfinal game. It was on Thursday. And there was a lot of buzz around the arena. He had a lot of rust. But he did make some shots. He does change the profile of their team. From a Vegas perspective, you guys have only gotten to see him a little bit this year, just like we have. How much does the reality that he's going to play and play extended minutes against Florida State on Friday, how does that change the way that you look at that game and that team?
It's pretty substantial. Because you know what was interesting about Porter in the SEC tournament? His misses were impressive. Because the fact that he was taking the shots that he took and looked confident in taking them, and that Quanzo Martin allowed him to take those shots, there is so much that he can do. Now, it becomes difficult for a Florida State because it's hard to prepare for. You don't have a lot of video. You can't be sure what you're going to see. So the belief is, okay, he'll be a little looser, a little more relaxed, have a little more basketball wind in him. But a lot of us have got Missouri like rated 3 points better because Porter is there. Even though he's hasn't had a lot of playing time, we've given him a three-point boost because you can see that upside that he has. And I'll tell you where it gets real interesting. Beat Florida State. Get a little bit of confidence inside of you. Xavier is not a typical number one seed. Xavier has some vulnerabilities. One of their biggest vulnerabilities is against a team that will get out there and scrap physically hard on defense. That could be a matchup where Missouri could be a sleeper to knock off a number one this weekend.
Take a quick break from our talk with David to tell you the podcast also brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga, one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast, and all underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market, leader in condo financing in Oxford, and the float-down option, so you can lock in that current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLOWE, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry's an Oxford-based Remax Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry does. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you are looking for. Those results are updated daily. And then he'll take care of the rest. Send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, trust me, that's the place to go. It's just off Interstate 55 in Grenada. They've got a complete selection of new, previously owned Nissans, great lease deals. Whatever you're looking for, Gene, Sandy, they'll find it. They'll take care of you. Great service after the sale. Fantastic people. I've used them for years. You should as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website at msbnkr.com or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com. or AVVO.com. Super Lawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state. So, you know, you're getting a really good one when you get Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800. Now back to David Selinsky on the Billy's Pecans Hotline on the Oxford Exxon Podcast. They go along, and if they did that, they get a Gonzaga, an Ohio State in the Sweet 16. They get interesting, right? I mean, if they get to the second weekend, I know if any team in the second weekend is interesting, but because of the Porter dynamic, because I think he's going to play point guard, the Porter dynamic makes them a really difficult team to prepare for, and kind of if they get some momentum, a really difficult team to beat.
This is where the fun comes into something like this, because, again, Xavier is not your typical number one. Gonzaga isn't last year's Gonzaga. So you get a couple of matchups that are within your grasp to be able to go out there and win. I mean, you think about the type of underdog they'd be against Gonzaga in a Sweet 16 game, yet Porter's the best player on the court. Yeah, Gonzaga has a lot of good players. They don't have that truly dynamic guy this year. So there is that. It's funny that the first game is one of the toughest because you have to have the chemistry to be able to get past Florida State. Florida State talented, but extremely inconsistent. If you can get past that first one, get a little momentum, get a little confidence, the next couple of games are winnable for Mizzou. That will be a fascinating team to watch.
Auburn comes into the tournament, four seed, I guess without their three best players, even though two of them haven't played all season, getting Earl Grant and Charleston in the first round. Is this is this a 4-13 upset potential here?
The potential's there because the Auburn kids gave so much this year. They fought so hard because they have to in order to win. Auburn won with passion, with kids playing really, really hard. That takes a toll, especially because since the SEC was a little bit tougher this year, there were no nights off. So even what would ordinarily be, you know, your easier games, you still have to go out and work. I mean, imagine this was a year that playing South Carolina was supposedly an easier game. But yet a Frank Martin team is always going to make you work. So the Auburn kids just looked a little gassed out when you got to the end. I don't know if those legs can regenerate. It's probably a bonus for them that they got out of the SEC tournament early so that they got a little bit of rest. But their best basketball may be behind them this year.
Is it crazy to think that some of the, whether it be getting into the tournament or the draws, was impacted by some of the FBI stuff going on?
No.
Okay.
But you're just not going to get anyone from the NCAA.
Well, yeah, of course.
But no, I don't believe that is crazy at all, because what it does is it prevents a mess later. So if they're pretty convinced that something real is going to happen with those programs, that they may have to vacate these seasons, it makes it a little bit easier if there's not the publicity. And, oh, yes, this was an NCAA tournament team that vacated, because then there's that subtext that cheating is what helped get you into the tournament. So that might have been an underlying thing, because, again, by the way we do the ratings out here, Louisville and Southern Cal are clearly in the tournament. Oklahoma State pretty close, actually would have them ahead of Oklahoma, but Louisville and Southern Cal clearly in, if it was just based on the quality of basketball they played this season.
I've been asked this, and I bet you can't answer it, and I mean this as a compliment. I don't think there's a better news-gathering organization than some of you all that do what you do in Vegas. I think you're more informed than even the very best of reporters. The tournament is getting started.
Well, something that I write about.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Yeah, say something I write about a lot, and we'll talk about it, is if you're searching for information, what's the betting line slash? So if you want to know if a particular player is injured, is he going to play today or not? Well, you watch the betting line, and if you see the betting line move, that line will tend to move before you see a media story get out there. And so many times, that's where the triggers happen. So when news is going to break, and we had an interesting one yesterday. Word got out that Louisville's players had voted to not participate in the NIT tournament. Got out on Twitter first, and then a published article got out there. And what's happening at the same time? Louisville had been a 9.5-point favorite against Northern Kentucky. Now it's down to 6.5 and 7. People were flocking to bet that. Now, some of the bets might have been before the article got posted, because we just happened, and I think you guys will be shocked to hear this, literally shocked. There are broadcasters and sports writers that actually bet. didn't mean to lay that out.
Stunning.
I know it's
whoa.
You're shocked to hear that.
Whoa.
You're dumbfounded.
Wow.
But yes. There are some of these sports writers who have a good piece of news, and they will filter it out so that it can get to the betting windows.
You're telling me the media is not pure, David. David, you have to warn me that these things are coming.
I feel so bad now, because now you might become disillusioned. Your audience could become disillusioned.
I'm going to become cynical now, David.
Yeah, I feel bad to be the one to have to say that.
Okay, along those lines, because this is what I'm really curious, and I know you probably can't answer, but if I'm a national reporter and I want splash on a big, big, big story involving FBI college basketball, David, I want to drop that son of a bitch at noon on Thursday. I want to blow this bitch up because I'm a reporter, and I want the clicks, and I want the tweets, and I want all the interviews, and I want to take over. Is there any rumbling at all in Vegas that something big is coming down this weekend?
Probably not this weekend, in that the powers that be, and this would be the NCAA, is going to do as much as they can to prevent it from happening until the tournament is over. Because, again, that's another one of the subtle pressures on the committee when they're putting these teams in. When we go back and talk about Southern Cal and Louisville again, it means every time those teams would play a tournament game on television, guess what the announcers were going to talk about? So what they've done is accept, for Arizona and Auburn, which they couldn't do anything about. I believe those are the only two teams where there will still be some talking points out there. And the problem with the NCAA has is it will follow Arizona all the way. As long as Arizona is alive, this story could follow all the way to the Final Four. And what if DeAndre Ayton and Arizona win it all and he's the tournament MVP? That's awkward for them. So I think they'd like to have this just go away until somebody cuts down the nets, somebody other than Arizona cuts down the nets, and then have it happen some quiet time in the offseason. So that's as long as the NCAA can control the flow.
So are you telling me, I was not cynical or skeptical about anything until the bomb you just dropped on this podcast. I mean, but now I've completely changed the way that I view college athletics. Are you telling me that perhaps Kentucky in a second round game with Arizona might get a few calls that Kentucky might not otherwise have gotten, that might be something to look at from a betting standpoint?
See, now we're getting into something else. Boy, I hope you don't have a lot of kids listening to the show. Do officials occasionally have an intention with the whistle? Boy, these are dangerous waters to get into, but it's sort of a reality. It's one of the things that we're always concerned about, like in conference tournaments. If you know that the winner of your conference regular season is absolutely going to the tournament, you get worried at conference tournaments that, well, okay, let's say like a Davidson on Sunday in the Atlantic 10. Davidson winning meant one more bid for the Atlantic 10 and more money for the conference than if Davidson had lost. So we do get concerned about those things. Because, again, when you go to set odds, you want to set clean odds that are not subject to any outside forces like that. Those are things that you have to be a little bit aware of and sometimes anticipate, but they can get you a little bit nervous. But you know what? I don't think when it comes down to Kentucky, Arizona, since there are issues on both sides of that equation, not sure if anybody necessarily gets a favorable whistle.
I've only got a couple minutes left here with you, David. What's your favorite Thursday or Friday upset for the first round or the first real round?
Boy, if we're looking just purely at upset, now I've got to think of what's defined as an upset in the betting markets. What's defined as an upset?
Right.
Are there hooks up? Yeah, I'm literally looking up and down the board. You know, as we speak on this, I don't see a lot of upsets because I didn't think the committee did a great job. I thought the odds makers did a pretty good job with these games and the type of teams we would want to back, like a South Dakota State. Because I'm not a big Ohio State fan. They got off to a really good start this year. Then they leveled off. And part of the reason for that is Ohio State was unique. It was the rare team that has three graduates playing, two starters and Dockett's the first guy off the bench. So when you've got three players that have already graduated, that's a high level of maturity. So you do start your season better. But there's a physical limitation. They couldn't get any better than they were back in late January. So I think Ohio State might be a little bit vulnerable. So South Dakota State let's put out there as an upset special. Get odds makers a little bit sharper with that. You don't get the 10 or 11 that you might want to get at another time. But don't be surprised if South Dakota State gives Ohio State all they can handle.
Yeah, well, we actually saw them earlier in the year. They played Ole Miss at the Pavilion and won a game early on before Christmas. Any other 12s going to get a 5?
I don't think so this year. I think this is when that 12-5 starts to level off a little bit. It's one of those things that actually ran better than it should for us. So now it's kind of the Cinderella thing. You've got people who are coming out here to bet this week looking to be betting on those 12s. That 12-5, I think, is something that ran way better than logic ever said that it should have.
Who do you have in your Final Four?
The entire state of Michigan.
Okay.
Both Michigan and Michigan State. But what does it come down to in the end? The two best teams. And in a year where there haven't been a dominant team, Virginia and Villanova have dominant units. And here's why I think they get to the finals. The Villanova offense right now, second best in all of college basketball over the last 10 years. Only 2015 Wisconsin had a better offense than this Villanova team. And here's something a lot of your listeners will remember. If we look at the best defense over the last 10 years, Virginia is number 2. 2009 Memphis was number 1. So while Villanova and Virginia might have flaws in other parts of their game, here's a historically great offense. Here's a historically great defense. I'm thinking that's the matchup we'll see in San Antonio. That offense against that defense, and Villanova, your winner this year. Going with the chalk, but that's what it looks like.
Where can people find your work at?
You can follow on Twitter at Vegas Point Blank. I write a daily column called Point Blank. You can find it at sbrpicks.com.
Okay. David, as always, appreciate it, bud.
Thanks, guys. Good luck. Sorry about introducing some of these ulterior media things to you. I hope you guys don't become too disillusioned.
Yeah, it's you've kind of ruined my life, but I'm going to get over it. I'm gonna figure out. I'm just going to find the new purpose.
I wish you the best with it.
Thank you, David.
Thanks, Dave.
Bye, Dave.
Thanks, guys.
David, fabulous as always. Appreciate his time. Podcast also brought to you by Tyson Drugs. TysonDrugs.com is the place to go to read all about sildenafil and other medications that you can fill out the forms, have them delivered to you wherever you are. Also, give them a call at 662-252-2321. Give them your doctor's name, and they'll get that prescription ready and, again, deliver it to you. Also now operating G&M Pharmacy in Oxford on South Lamar. They deliver local. I was in there the other day. Took care of me with great hometown service. So TysonDrugs.com, 662-252-2321.
The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, that kind of thing, Ben Brown and his team, they have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders, one very easy online application with rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben's waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies, your rental properties, any other insurance that you might have. If you have insurance needs in Mississippi or Tennessee, or you just want to compare some rates, get in touch with Romero Miller State Farm. It's 662-893-1212.
As we talked about with Jeffrey a couple weeks ago, Ryan Brown moving into a morning slot on WJOX. It looks like the people replacing his show, Cole Kublick and Aaron Suttles, friends of the podcast, starting here in a couple weeks.
Cole Kublick will be on the greatest pod in the South. We're going to tape tomorrow. Both Jay and I covered him at Auburn. Not surprised at all that he's turned into a kind of a football savant. He was one of those guys that always got the most out of his physical abilities. He's done well. Sports talk radio in Birmingham has always worked. It's just a big
sports
town.
It's just enough drive time, too. You can get stuck on some of those highways for a little while.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? If you live in Jefferson County and have to get into Shelby County or vice versa, you're on the road 40 minutes a day.
Got enough time to listen to a couple segments.
That's how it works.
Yeah. Morning, the big slot. Morning and afternoon, and then midday is kind of the introductory slot. Is that the way it works or not?
I think sports talk works there all day long.
Does it?
Yeah. People are on the road.
Just fill it up. Just
fill it up. You have the lunch hour. You know, let's face it, people take their lunch hours at different times now. It's not just 12 to 1. Some people go 11 to noon. Some people go 12 to 1. Some people
11
go
11 to 2.
Some people go 11 to 2.
Yeah. Thread up on the message board at rebelgrove.com about a potential Kermit Davis staff in Oxford. Be a good time to subscribe, as there's a lot going on right now, actually. Spring football will get back going after spring break. Currently, every kid is out of town. It seems it's kind of ghost towny right now in Oxford. So, you know,
Caroline had a birthday party yesterday at Lost Pizza. It was not crowded. Normally, it's pretty crowded. Normally, it's slammed.
Birthday party at Lost Pizza.
It was fun. Okay. They did a good job. If you're the people listening at Lost Pizza and you'd like to advertise on the podcast, holler.
You get free plugs like this all the time.
All the time. Really good. Nice beer selection. Good food. It's fun.
Okay.
A little upstairs area. Neat.
Yeah. We have a second birthday party next weekend. Finally that time again.
Isn't that amazing? Time flies, man.
Yeah.
What do you do for a second birthday? I know for the first birthday party. I don't remember my kids' second birthday parties.
Well, the first birthday parties are the overblown jokes.
Yeah, where the kid takes the cake and mom's like, please do all the things you're supposed to do so I can put 7,000 photos out. Second birthday party's not as much. Because now she's an actual human being.
They sort of kind of have friends at two. Sort of, yeah. It's still like parents, friends, kids, but there's some interaction. It's old enough to have some.
Well, she's become an actual person.
Yeah.
And before anybody slaps me, chill, slow down, whoa, okay, relax. I'm on your side on that story, so just chill out. It's a figure of speech.
Neil says when people turn two, they become actual humans on the podcast today.
Everybody settle down. Take your medicine. Okay. You know what I mean. Actually begin to have their own personality.
Yeah. Typically, it's of a person that's running around screaming and mad all the time. But
terrible twos. Clichés stick for reasons. We never really dealt with that. Maybe you won't either.
I'm telling you, I still have a climber that will not stop climbing things.
Maybe
everything.
That's gonna be her thing.
I'm gonna have to do gymnastics because she's.
Well, there you go.
There's a lot of coordination and balance because she's not my biological child. So,
if she's climbing, she's climbing. There's nothing you can do about it. She likes to climb, so go ahead.
Kind
and
of a problem solver too. Like that's like we were at a buddy's house the other day who has the baby gates at the bottom of the stairs and the top of the stairs, like solid wood ones.
Yeah.
They close. It's like, oh, don't worry about it. They can't get in. Looked up 2 seconds later, and she was standing in the middle of the stairs. And I went, well. And what she figured out was if you climb on the outside of the stairs, up 3 stairs, you could slip through the banisters and then go up the stairs.
Well, it's a good sign. I mean, it's a pain in the ass right now, but it's a good sign.
Problem solving.
Well, it's worst traits to have.
I told you, she has the ability right now to take the top of her toes, put them on the top ledges of our drawers in the master bath, climb the vanity, and sit in the sink. Using just the very top of, not pulling the drawers out, just the very ledge where she takes her toes only and climbs them.
So she's either going to be in gymnastics or she's going to be like a daredevil.
Stuntman.
She could be one
stuntman.
Of the people that do the tightrope.
I mean,
from building to building, you know, holding the thing.
I mean, the hope is that this actually translates into sports because of just hand-eye coordination and flexibility in general.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you know, women's golfers get scholarships. Those would be nice.
Scholarships are nice.
Scholarship. You're in the middle of that path right now, aren't you?
Yeah, we are.
That's why you're not saying anything bad about Oklahoma at any point.
No, go Sooners.
They deserve to be in the tournament, right?
Absolutely they do.
That 2-9 finish is irrelevant.
Well, the two. Focus on the two, not the nine.
They've won some of them.
I mean, Trae Young. OU, baby. Boomer Sooner. Arkansas belonged in the damn tournament. They earned it.
Arkansas?
She's looking at Arkansas. So just
has she driven to Arkansas?
We're going to do it next month.
And how's that going to go?
Well, I don't know.
Because you and I have done that a few times.
I've done it a few times, and I know how it affects
me. It sucks.
Don't know how it affects her.
You're going to get to Fort Smith and go, yeah, it's okay. No,
the FBI is just picking on Auburn. Just chill out. Auburn's done nothing wrong.
I do need this podcast that you're doing to work, and then I need your kid at Auburn and Jay's kid at Ole Miss. That's what I need in a couple years. That's what I need here in a couple years.
Well, I can tell you that it's all going to be about scholarships.
That's where you're at, huh?
That's where we are.
Okay. That's that. The mainstream media, I guess if you want to call them, finally jumping on the Kermit Davis bandwagon this morning and last night, saying a deal is likely imminent with the Rebels.
Yeah, I know what's coming today. Jeff Goodman's going to break the story.
Is he?
And when he breaks it, people are going, hey, Neil, you got beat. I don't know what else I can possibly do. Kermit Davis is the next head coach at Ole Miss. I posted yesterday about who his staff probably is. I don't know what else I can possibly do. If that means getting beat on stories, then I just get beat. I mean, whatever.
I mean, have you tweeted Kermit Davis is the new coach at Ole Miss?
I haven't.
Well, then.
Because technically, he's not yet. Technically. I mean, look. People, I was in a Nashville show today, and they said, you know, how done is it? Well, it's done.
Yeah, but how done?
But it's Billy Donovan to the Orlando Magic was done. Remember that one?
Yeah.
That was done. It's that done. Now, is it possible that Kermit Davis has a change of heart? I guess. Is it likely? Hell no.
It's 99.8% done.
It's like I told those guys. Those guys were like doing this thing. And I'm not making fun of them. They were great. It was like normally when I do talk radio, I get kind of like, I hate this because the people are just obnoxious. These guys were great. I would assume talk radio in Nashville does well too. And they were like, you know, does he fit because he's this? Does he fit because he's that? I said, guys, at the end of the day, if I offer you a 400% raise, do you take it? The answer is yes. You're pretty happy in Oxford. You like it. You have a lot of roots, a lot of friends, etc.
I do.
If someone comes to you and says, Chase, I'm going to offer you a 400% raise, I roughly know what you make.
Yeah.
I know that 400% of that would change the deal a little for you. You would take it.
Yeah.
You'd be out of Oxford so fast that Oxford wouldn't see you leaving.
And we haven't even talked about where it actually is.
I don't think it would matter. I don't think it would matter.
No.
Someone goes, well, you know, San Francisco, the cost of living. Okay, but Murfreesboro and Oxford, from a cost of living standpoint, is probably...
Yeah, I mean, if you told me I had to move to Monte Carlo, well, I still have a problem. But
if I told you had to move to Sausalito, well, 400 might not do it.
Yeah.
But if I told you had to move to Murfreesboro.
Okay. All good.
Done. Murfreesboro and Oxford, I'm guessing.
There'll be a nice neighborhood in the golf course in Murfreesboro. I'll figure
it out.
Yeah,
I mean, before anybody gets into details, I mean, if you're making $650 or so in Murfreesboro and someone says you can make $2.4 in Oxford, well, you're taking it, and vice versa.
Yeah.
If you're making $650 in Oxford and someone offers you $2.4 in Murfreesboro, you're out.
Yeah.
You'll figure it out. Like you said, there's going to be a really nice neighborhood with a golf course and some nice restaurants, and I can get some wine, and I probably can afford to get the outdoor patio or whatever that I wanted.
Yeah. It'd be all right.
Yeah, exactly. In the words of Nick Saban, be all right.
Yeah.
So when people do that, it's like, you know, they're searching for all this stuff. It's like, guys, money.
Shock of the century yesterday, Olive Branch basketball player DJ Jeffries commits to Kentucky.
You're kidding.
Over Mississippi State.
You know, it's proof. If you work hard enough, long enough, you'll land a five-star. You know? That Calipari, he has stuck to it. He has always kind of
things are really pure now. So I mean, he just out-recruited there.
Damn right. The little engine that could, Kentucky basketball.
And Virginia.
Let me tell you. You guys out there in Rebel Grove podcast and message board land, I love you. But the Virginia message board threads, they used to drive me crazy, and now I just laugh at them. They're really good, and as Malinsky said, they are historically good on the defensive end of the floor. They are also very athletic. They are very long, and that is a collection of top 100 kids. They're not the five stars. They're not one and dones. If anything, they have figured out better than almost anybody, they in Villanova, almost anybody in the country, how to perfectly thread the needle.
And now look, if you could give Ole Miss a structure, that is at least the structure that I would pick above all other structures.
Yes.
No doubt.
Yes. And I hope it works out like
that. Didn't you say on the message board yesterday, Ole Miss is getting a five-star here soon once they get Kermit?
They'll be in on one.
Okay.
But, you know, you just heard Malinsky talk about this. Is that really the way you want to go? Now, if you're Ole Miss and you have a chance at a kid like that, you have to do it.
Yeah.
Period. Ole Miss needs an NBA presence so bad it hurts. I mean, Ole Miss so desperately needs
a dude,
a kid to go to the NBA and play in the NBA and come back in the summer and hang out at a camp and just happen to be here when another kid shows up and then go, oh, look, there's Joe Schmo, NBA star with the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
They so badly need that it hurts.
Yeah.
You talk about something that's a void in a program.
If you got a one and done, you retire that son of a bitch's number the next year, wouldn't you?
Oh, I might retire on senior night. I mean, Ole Miss needs that so badly.
Hey, can we get that statue in before the recruiting weekend next week? Thanks.
Well, like Colin Sexton.
Bust.
Colin Sexton has now cleared the path for the next one and done in Alabama. Michael Porter Jr. at Missouri has so far played in two games. In two games!
And still raised their profile.
He has done so much for that program.
Yeah.
In two games.
Yeah.
He is potentially going to play three games at the University of Missouri. By the way, just in case, the Tigers deserve to be in. You, God bless you. You're doing the Lord's work up there in Columbia. Good for you.
Okay. I think we've
I should tell you real quick, if you are in the market for corporate gifts, check out Billy's Pecans. People, I hate to overpromise this. I think we're going to have a really, really strong guest on the Billy's Pecans hotline here in the next day or two. At Billy's Pecans, they have the perfect crunch for every palate, whether it's a gift or a corporate client, presents for the staff, tokens of goodwill for a referral. From 5 to 5,000 orders, Billy's Pecans will handle it all with expertise and excellence with their signature Southern style, with items at every price point. You simply can't choose wrong. It's billyspecans.com, or you can call 1-800-624-7404.
Yeah, again, I think we've got some good podcasts coming up the rest of the week. Again, as Neil said, a podcast with he and Jay as well. So keep clicking in. We appreciate you. Use our Amazon links. Leave some reviews at iTunes and more. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.